Congressman Adam Kinzinger is in the studio with us.
Bam. Love that song. Love it.
And, yeah, see, again, I don't want...
Makes me want to punch things.
I just want to say one thing. Great. That's great. That should be your campaign slogan. I just want to punch things. You know, it's like... I go back to this, and I know that you have been one of the more vocal critics of the Trump campaign, and now a bunch of your colleagues are jumping on board, and they're like, "Oh, well, it's going to be the Republican guy. We, you know, just close our eyes and take it, essentially."
Yeah.
But doesn't it mean basically scorched earth for the Republican Party?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, as far as my colleagues getting on board, you know, it's all their decision. And look, I have no disrespect to anybody that voted for and supports Donald Trump. He says a lot of things that, you know, people feel attracted to. I think where I have a problem with him is I see leadership as understanding people's disappointment and anger and pointing a way out. And instead, what I think Donald Trump is doing, just my opinion, is he's finding the insecurities in people and exposing them and saying, because you're insecure, go with me. And I'm not going to give you any details of how we're going to get there. Yeah, we'll throw a 50% tariff on China. You know, we'll build a wall and we'll just bomb the crud out of everything. But there's no real answers. And so I look at that and go, that's damaging to my party, frankly.
Right.
And the country, of course.
And it's all fantastical, as Stevie Wonder would say, because there's the wall itself. Building the wall and investing in that and doing what he says he wants to do. It'll be a beautiful wall. He'll use his own contractors or whatever he says about that. It's an incredibly expensive undertaking. And
Mexico's not going to pay for it.
They're not going to pay for it.
It's never going to happen.
And we're all for border security. I mean, I work the border with the military. There's ways to do this, including fencing, including things like that. But to just say, I'm going to build a wall and then I'm going to make it 10 feet bigger if Mexico's upset. I mean, I guess my concern is, you know, the reason I got into this job is I wanted to help lead this country, and I wanted to do it in a way where you can explain problems to people, understand where they're coming from. And instead, this is just, to me, I worry about the long-term damage to the presidency, too. You know, is the next person that runs in 2020, are they going to follow the Trump model of just yell and divide and, you know, and push people away? And we need to be the party bringing people together under a common mission and a focus, and it's just not that.
Right. It's appealing to people's curiosity, intellect, and better angels.
Right.
That is not what he is doing. Strike one, two, and three. And he's appealing to their anger. He's appealing to their frustration. He's appealing to their fear. And where you have seen that be effective, it's been effective throughout human history, particularly effective in the 20th century in the era of mass media, but it has never had a good end.
No.
Right?
Well, I read a Jonah Goldberg article where he said, you know, making a decision out of anger, how many times have you made a decision out of anger that you later regret? For me, it's 9 out of 10 times. And, you know, that's what's disappointing is, you know, Donald Trump says he's going to eliminate the federal debt. He's also not going to touch Social Security and, you know, goes on with these ideas and he's going to make the military fantastic and great. The math simply doesn't add up, so he's setting people up for a huge letdown and further disillusionment with the political system.
It's the thing, you know, Adam, your party is the party that's always saying smaller government and individual freedoms, and a lot of the people who are saying Donald Trump is the greatest thing, but the things he would want to do, the only way you can do that is if you're in a dictatorship.
Well, that's right.
You know, day one, I'm going to do this, he keeps saying, I'm going to do that, as if he's taking over a company, and it doesn't work that way.
And a lot of us have given tough medicine and saying, look, the Social Security system has got to be reformed. Hopefully we can do it for younger people like me, but the math doesn't add up. We have to do some reform. And then he comes along and says, well, we don't have to do anything. It reverses years of tough medicine that some folks in Washington, including myself, have been very motivated to get out to people so they understand the real challenges we face so that we can all as a country come together and figure out how to solve these things.
Let's talk about the military for a second, because you're currently an Air Force reservist. Or guard. I always get that confused.
It's the same,
guard,
basically.
Same, yeah. Okay. As far as you know, guard, fly guard. I don't know what he's talking about when he talks about, you know, our military, you know, is in such terrible shape. Yes, we went through a sequester, right? It was not an intentional conservative thing. It was a reaction. You know, the sequester was very much a reaction to what was going on in the Obama administration, right? So... it wasn't a that was a political spike. That was nothing to do with the people who actually do their jobs or the contractors who do their jobs and deliver the weapon systems and the people who do the training and all the people who are doing the fighting and the dying. It had nothing to do with that. And so the reality is that he's and he talks about, you know, we're going to, you know, we're getting killed on this, we're getting killed on that, and they're not afraid of us anymore. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean,
it's hyperbole, but it's populism.
Well, I get that, but it's also what do, you know, those tens of thousands of people who work in the Pentagon. And I suggest if you are ever in Washington, D.C., when you're looking at all the different things, take the tour of the Pentagon, too. You will not believe what you see. And the dedication, people who don't understand, you know, what the business of military is really like, you get a really great sense of it there. These are professionals. These are people who know what they're doing. These are we are upgrade. There's almost $1 trillion being spent over the next almost quarter century to upgrade our nuclear capacity in the United States, because there's a whole new nuclear technology that everybody's trying to get on board. What this dope in North Korea is trying to build is, you know, the World War II technology. There's a whole new thing. It's a little scary, actually, because it changes the dynamic where nuclear. You could actually have a nuclear conflict and not have total mass destruction of the universe, right? So that part is something that we're not even debating or talking about. But that, you know, all the things that Trump is doing is he's screaming about how awful the military is. And how are those people in the Pentagon that actually do those jobs taking that?
Well, it's the best military in the world. And of course we need to improve it. Of course we need to lift sequester. That's why I voted to lift sequester. We need to invest in the next generation of body armor and MRAPs and fighter jets and tankers and all that. That needs to happen. But to say now that the military is basically terrible is wrong. And, you know, beyond that, too, to say something that feels good to hear, like we need to just ban all Muslims, right? Well, some of our best allies in the war on terror are moderate Muslims, and even some less than moderate Muslims. The Saudis, for instance, just recently, about a week ago, dealt a huge blow to al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in Yemen. They are the ones that hit us the coal. They're a very dangerous element of al-Qaeda that the Saudis basically shut down about a week ago.
They're the last piece of al-Qaeda that's really relevant at this moment.
That's right. AQAP. And so this is, I mean, these are the kind of regimes, whether it's Saudi, whether it's Egypt. These are Muslims, by the way. They believe in the Muslim religion. That could
Saudi's
be our
even
best.
More in a crazy, I'm sorry for using this term, but true, in more of a crazy way.
That's right, yeah, more Wahhabi. Yeah. And but it is, those are the regimes that are going to help us, if we don't want to send 400,000 American troops in the Middle East again, that are going to help us defeat this cancer. To say just things like we're going to ban everybody, it may feel good to hear, it may work politically, and it did work politically. It's bad policy, and it's wrong.
And this is why I think if it comes down to, which I think it's going to come down to, Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, Adam, we were just talking about these debates. It's one thing to outshout the other 11 candidates on stage with these catchphrases, but when you're one-on-one in a 90-minute
totally
or two-hour format, you can't, and you just feel like he has some of the nuances and subtleties you guys just talked about. I don't think Donald Trump has the first grasp of international politics, and I think he'll be exposed in a way that will frighten people come late summer, early fall,
and
if
you're a real narcissist, and we throw that word around a lot, but if you're an actual narcissist, you believe you can surround yourself with the best people, but you're going to think you're smarter than them, and you're the one making the final decision.
It is something that was the New York Times wrote a piece about that today, there was an op-ed piece about that notion. I don't think I ever used the term narcissist, but when you think you're the smartest guy in the room and you deal with the room like you are dealing with the apprentice, as opposed to dealing with people who you really and it breaks a tradition. There, every president, there was someone talking about this that had, you know, served. Actually, Bill Gates talked about this, who had served everyone from, I think he was even in the Nixon administration at one point as a young, he had contact with him as a young guy at the Pentagon. And he worked his way through, all the way through, and he said the only person that was not, you know, was sit in a room and listen to his generals, the only guy that was, you know, even Nixon would do that. There's nobody who's ever stopped and go, you know, I'm going to tell the generals what to do. Not
That's
a single
right.
president in the modern, whether it was Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan or either Bush or Bill Clinton.
That's right.
I mean, you got to listen to them because they know what they're talking about. Now, you may disagree. You may not take their advice.
Right.
Right. But you're not going to go, we're going to go my way here.
That's right.
It's always their plan.
Do you realize Donald Trump believes the nuclear football is an actual football? And from there, you have to start from there. He thinks it's an actual football. And that's what he carries around as president. And he'll have a man holding like a Wilson.
I cannot imagine. You know, they do that thing where I always like to call the three-ring binder day when the guy becomes president. Mm. And they do briefings. He's going to get a briefing when he becomes the nominee, right, on certain things.
That's right.
That he needs to know. But then he gets the real briefing about a week and a half after the election, where he sits down like for 3 days in Washington, and these guys kind of disappear. And they're basically told, here's what's going on.
That's right.
This is stuff that is top secret that no one else knows. Here's what you're going to know. And I have yet to have seen a president-elect walk out of that meeting not looking ashen.
That's the moment where it really sets in, right? Where they really know and go, oh, my God, I have the most responsibility of any individual on the face of this planet.
Right. I think that's when he's going to.
And that's when Adam comes in and tells him about Roswell, too. But that part we don't get into. That's the fourth ring of the binder.
Next time.
There was just some legitimate journalist asking a legitimate candidate about that. And I was like, yeah, what about that alien thing?
Independence Day 2 coming out this summer. When are we going to hear about that?
There you go.
All right. Congressman, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you,
very much.